One, two, one, two, one, two. Good morning, everyone. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Boy, you guys are sounding good today. Everybody acts like they're having a good time. I just want to build on a couple of things that Brian and Wendy did. Talked about today. Brian said that this whole world is in a sad shape, and we know that, don't we? If you follow the news, and I've always encouraged you not to, but if you follow the news and you can see where we are right now, we're a far cry from where God intends us to be. We know that, all right? But do we lose hope because of that? Absolutely not. And because we know the world is in kind of bad shape, how many would like to help change it? Now, I'm kind of hesitant there just a little bit. How many would, I mean, or at least there's probably a lot of the world that we can't influence, but how many would like to at least help change the community where we live? Anybody on for that? All right. How are we going to do that? This is from Wendy. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. There is, and she said it well. Wished I could say it as good as she did. There is nothing that he cannot do. And all power in the universe has been given to him. Then he told you and me, go. And he's going with us. Make disciples. Change your world. You want to help change our community? Can he really? He sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. There is nothing that happens that he can't oversee and control. So, can we change our community? You still are not with me there. The truth of the matter is, yes, we can help change our community. And it's about time this community was changed. And it's about time that we get engaged in doing it. Would everybody agree? Now shake your pointed heads at me. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? Well, James is going to tell us how in just a moment, so hang on. First, I want to go to prayer. Let's just remember John Boyce and his family. Remember the older members of our church, some of them going through health problems. Folks traveling, let's remember those as they're traveling. Also, Tim handed me this. Grace, Sally's girl, had a friend up in by the name of Anna, 22-year-old in Queensland, went in for an operation,
routine, blood pressure dropped, she didn't make it. Now, I'm sure that has really, really impacted Grace. So let's remember not only Anna's family, but let's remember Grace during this difficult time for her life, all right? So let's just bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you that we can bring these requests to you, and you want us to bring these requests to you. I think of Grace right now as she's struggling with the loss of a very, very young friend. I think of Anna's family who has faced a catastrophic loss. And Lord, we know that you superintend in situations like this, and we just invite you to go into that situation and change it and use it somehow for your glory. But most of all, give them comfort and grace, that comfort and peace that passes all understanding during that difficult time they're going through. Father, I pray for John and his family, our folks that are struggling with their health. And Father, we're so, so grateful that we can leave this with you because you care for us. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, back to the platform that Brian and Wendy laid. Our world is in a difficult situation, and God has given us the ability to change it. You believe me? No, we won't be able to change the whole thing because we know that ultimately it's going to get worse and worse and worse until God comes back, until Jesus comes back, and he's going to change it real quick, smart, like, you know, like that. But we won't be here. We'll be out of here in the marriage supper of the Lamb having a good time. But anyway, he's going to change things. But while we're here right now, we can actually influence and see a change in people's life which will affect our community. How do we do that? Well, James, in James chapter 1, gives us a good foundation to build and to find what God wants us to do. So go with me to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Folks, these few verses right here can revolutionize your life. They can revolutionize your life, and we're going to unpack them a little bit to see how it applies to us. In the first one we looked at last week, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, or in the King James, patience. How in the world can we count trials and troubles joyfully? I asked that question last week and nobody really had an answer for me, and we still don't. Yes, go ahead, Wendy. It does. It gives you strength. But we've got to get our heads around it, because when troubles come, don't most of us go, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Oh, we start moaning and groaning. You don't do that, do you? And then two or three things happen and you go, oh. We're supposed to, according to James, count it all joy when trials come, because our trials result in endurance or patience. Say that word with me, patience. Hemi needs more patience. Please don't raise your hand, because the Bible says tribulation works patience. But the truth of the matter is, as we talked about last week, unless you've got problems, you will not discover possibilities. Because if we don't have a problem, we'll just kind of keep plodding along in our own pathway. Because anybody here resistant to change? You don't like change? Most of you shake your head at me. We don't like change, and the only time we start looking for possibilities is when God messes up our normal. And we start having problems, we start looking for possibilities. So problems brings possibilities, or as James says, trials brings patience. But he goes on. Let's look a little further. Verse 4, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So endurance or patience leads to a large step towards perfection and completeness. How many of us want to move closer to perfection and completeness? Anybody? Now, for those who think you're already there, sorry, no. You know, we're going to reach perfection one of these days, and that's whenever we see Jesus and we're like Him. Then we'll reach perfection, but not until then. And guess what? That happens to all of us as Christians at the same time when we see Him. Unless you go on first, or I go on first, and then you get to see Him first. Well, there's nothing bad about that, I don't think. But anyway, he says, let endurance have its perfect result. So let the trials bring endurance, and then endurance move you along the road to where God wants you to be. So when troubles come, let it make you stronger, which will make you better. And it all begins with struggles. All begins with struggles. I gave the illustration last week about going to the gym and working out. Anybody love doing that? I heard an African-American man talking about running. He said, people go out on a fun run. He said, that is an oxymoron. Fun run, they shouldn't be said in the same sentence, you know? You know, I'm a walker, but when it comes to running, it's not long I'm going, you know, like that. I just can't run. Milo's been trying his best to get me to run for the last year and a half. I fell over one time, but no, I'm just not a runner. But whenever you start working out, it's going to be painful. It's going to hurt. But you know what? No pain, say it with me, no pain, no gain. In the Christian life, no pain, no gain. Randy Pike wrote a book. He started the first independent Baptist church in Australia. And it's called The Ministry of Suffering. Suffering makes us better. But what we have to do is get our heads around that and stop complaining and start praising. Because if we'll let that have its perfect work in our lives, then we'll get closer to what God wants us to become. See, we got to get our heads around that. But how are we going to change our world? How are we going to change our world? Let's just start on ground zero and says, I don't have a clue. But I do know there's a place we can go to find it. And James points that out, verse 4 or 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, can anybody put their hand up? Anybody lack wisdom? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, it will be given to him. This is a promise that you can take to the bank, folks. I need things simple. Remember the KISS method? Keep it simple, stupid. You got to keep it that way with me, all right? Simple. You ask God, you get it. Do you believe that? I hope you do when I'm done with this message. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach. And read it, and it will be given to him. It's black and white. It's an inalterable truth. You want wisdom, you ask God, he'll give it. Done deal. So how are we going to affect our community? Begin to ask God. Begin to ask God. But there's a clincher. James is like this, verse 6. But let that person, let him, that's the one asking for wisdom, but let him ask in faith without any doubting. How many struggles doubting? And even when you come to God and you pray, you doubt whether he'll answer. You doubt he'll respond. You doubt his sovereign word to you. That's all right, I do too. But let him ask in faith without doubting. Now watch this. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Listen, let's keep it simple. When you ask God what to do, just do what he tells you. Black and white. You ask God what to do, just do what he tells you. If you ask God, God, how am I going to climb that mountain? When he tells you, climb that mountain. Or he may look at you and say, you're not fit enough to do that. I mean, God does sometimes say no, right? Sometimes God says no, sometimes he says yes, and sometimes says, wait a while, you're not ready. But God will give wisdom. But when we ask God, expect an answer. That's how David defeated Goliath. That's how Joshua conquered the promised land. That's how Enoch prayed for rain to stop, and it stopped for 3 years. That's how the disciples, this ragtag bunch of fishermen and men who weren't too smart, changed the world. They just did what Jesus told them. Let's move it into the last 100 years. That's how Hudson Taylor attacked China, the inland China, and through the most difficult circumstances possible, presented a testimony and laid a foundation in China that's still affecting Chinese today, 100 years later. And you look at Hudson Taylor, he was this short, sickly, not impressive man. He just knew what God said, and he did it. There's another man who preached, and he's probably affected more people than anybody in our day and age. His name is Billy Graham. He probably reached more people with the gospel than anybody, and no one else even comes close. And it was a simple gospel message that any first-year theology student could preach. He just did what God told him to do. Now let's make it personal. Trusting God's instruction without doubting is exactly how you and I are going to reach our community and change our world for the better. Are you with me? Now James throws one of those hard preacher sucker punches, you know? You know how hard preachers can be? I'm not too hard today, I don't think. But James is fixing to get rough here. So let's just listen to James. James chapter 1, verses, and we're going to begin back in verse 6 and hit it on the run all the way to verse number 8. Now the man who's asking for wisdom, you ready for this? Now let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Did you get that? This hit me like a ton of bricks when I got it. If we ask God for wisdom and he gives it and we begin to doubt him, then we need not expect anything from him. Our doubting short circuits God's power in our life. Say that with me. Our doubting short circuits God's power in our life. When God tells us, if we doubt it, forget it. You see how clear James is? Folks, we need to make a decision. If we want to change our community and change our world, we need to get on our knees and get serious about asking God what he wants us to do. And when he tells us what to do, then we're going to have to do it regardless of how hard, how difficult, how sophisticated it is or easy it is. It doesn't matter. When he tells us, we need to get on our horse and ride towards it and do it. Amen. That was quiet. You see, I told you James is kind of hard hitting. So folks, please, and this is to me, as I'm talking to you, one finger's pointing out, but three of those ugly fellows is looking back at me. When God shows us what to do, don't explain it away. Do it. Doesn't matter what it is. Last week we looked at Joshua, and Joshua had to follow Moses, probably the greatest leader of all time. And he was following, he was leading a belligerent and arrogant bunch of people who were bullheaded. It'd be a hard bunch of people to lead. And he had to take over a land full of vicious and strong people. And he's just the man. How do you do that? You go on the promises of God who says, listen, you be strong and courageous because I'm with you and no one will stand before you. You will continue going. He went forward on the promises of God and nothing else. And if World Hope Baptist Church is going to move forward in the new year, we're going to have to move forward on the promises of God and nothing else. Everything else will crumble and fall. But the promises of God will stand. We need to latch on to a promise and do what God wants us to do. Do you agree? Well, what if God tells us to do something and we just can't get our heads around it? We can't envision what he's wanting us to do. What do we do then? Pray? That's a good thing. Anybody here like to try to figure things out before you do them? I used to be that way, but I found out I can never figure anything out. I just need to keep walking. Listen, when God wants us to do something, he may tell us to do something, and there's a good chance we won't be able to see it or figure it out. But that's okay. The writer of Hebrews had some real good information to give us, and he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith, stay with me. Faith in God gives us vision when nothing is visible. Faith is traveling a road ahead even when it's too dark to see where you're placing your feet. I don't do good in the dark, do you? As a young fella, I used to do all right in the dark, but the older I get, and since I've got glasses on and things like that, I'm pretty horrible when it gets dark. I find myself stumbling around and all that. That's why I got a good torch. But faith gives us a vision to move ahead, even when it's too dark to see where we're going. It's because we're trusting that God will do what He says He will do. Now that's pretty far-reaching. Listen to this quote. Faith in God gives substance to our dreams and turns the invisible into a reality. Faith in God gives substance to our dreams and turns the invisible into a reality. And folks, for living a Christian life and making a difference in your world, you got to have faith in God. And we got to do what He tells us to do. Anybody willing to step out on faith? I can see it running through a lot of people's minds saying, yeah, now what is He going to ask us to do? I don't have a clue. Sometimes we walk by one step at a time. Faith turns the invisible into a reality. I want you to keep that one with you. Will we trust God's wisdom? Well, let me show you why it is so important that we have faith in God. You know how important that really is? The writer of Hebrews gives us that answer. Hebrews 11:6. You ready for this? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, listen, it is so important. If we don't believe God, we can't please Him. And every single one of us want to please God. Don't we? Then we've got to believe what He says. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter who's complaining. It doesn't matter. Our focus and allegiance must be to God and He alone. But we do have an adversary. We do have an adversary that we've got to look out for. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Listen to this, folks. Satan hates us. He wants to destroy us. He intends for us to fail in everything that God wants us to do. Therefore, whenever God shows us how to move forward, it will not be easy. It will be opposed. Because anytime you move ahead for God, the devil's sitting there fighting it. But Wendy gave us the answer to this one this morning too, that Jesus has already defeated the devil. That's good preaching this morning, Wendy. Jesus has already defeated the devil. And since He's defeated the devil, He has all authority, and He tells us to go and make disciples. Folks, we have no idea how powerful we can be in Jesus. We have no idea. And we'll find God's will through two things, the Bible and prayer. That is profound, isn't it? The profoundness of simplicity. It has always been that way. We'll find God's will, and He will lead us to victory from His Word and through prayer. So let's read again. I'm going to read the text that we've talked about today. James chapter 1. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I like that. Lacking nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach. And it will be given to him. But, boy, these buts are big, aren't they? But let him ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let that man who doubts, for let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, if he doubts, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So we got to get with God and find out what He wants, right? So we got to get into His Word and see what He wants us to do. But the second thing is prayer. We could go, and I could go another hour on this, but I won't. But I would like to read you the words of a song. This is by a Christian group called Casting Crown. The song has been out for a few years, and the title is, What If His People Prayed? What would happen if God's people prayed? What if the armies of the Lord picked up and dusted off their swords, vowed to set the captives free and not let Satan have one more? What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate, took a stand upon God's promises and stormed hell's rusty gates? What if His people prayed and those who bear His name would humbly seek His face and turn from their wicked way? And what would happen if we prayed for those raised up to lead the way? Then maybe kids in school could pray and unborn children see the light of day. What if the life that we pursue came from a hunger for the truth? What if the family turned to Jesus and stopped asking Oprah what to do? Timely. God said they would hear. He promised. His promise has been made. He'll answer loud and clear if only we would pray. God's wisdom and prayer is the most powerful combination in the universe. Satan trembles when God's people pray. So let's pray. Let's get into His book and find out what He wants. And then pray for that supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to change our community. Anybody with me? Let's stand. Father, we've approached a very challenging passage of Scripture today. James speaks very clearly As he says that if any of us really do want wisdom from you, we're supposed to ask you, and you'll give it. That's your part. But our part is to not doubt it when you give it. We are to move forward regardless of what it is and what it looks like and whether we can figure it out or not. We can't doubt you. Because if we do, our doubting will short-circuit your power in our lives and in the life of our church. So, Father, help us to be believers. Help us to be people of faith that will reach out and grab hold of your promises and your promises alone and move into our community and see lives changed, families converted in our community come to you. That is our desire. So, Father, help us to keep our eyes on Jesus and none other. And help us to pray and claim your promises. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Have a great week. Thanks, Noel. Thank you.